Welcome to the St Ninians Community Church Lent Podcasts. Thank you for listening. It's Graham here. Well, today we begin our final week of Lent podcasts because we enter into the final week of Lent as we count down on this Holy Week to these final days where we come to celebrate Jesus' crucifixion on Good Friday and then his victory and triumph and resurrection on Easter Sunday. But before we get to the celebrations too quickly, we have to walk with Jesus as he goes through that final week on our behalf. And so today we begin by reflecting again on his entry into Jerusalem that Palm Sunday, as we read together from Mark's Gospel, chapter 11, and the first 12 verses. This is what it says. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethpage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord has need of it, and will send it back here immediately.' And they went away and found a colt tied at a door outside in the street, and they untied it. And some of those standing there said to them, 'What are you doing untying that colt?' And they told them what Jesus had said, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus, and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut from the fields. And those who went before and those who followed were shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest!' And he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. It strikes me as we read through this story that what was taking place was something highly prophetic, as Jesus was welcomed, perhaps for the first time in his life, as he deserved and for who he truly was. Many times he had come and gone from Jerusalem, very often entering into periods of conflict with the Pharisees and the religious leaders. Many times there had been disputes and debates about who he really was and was he the genuine article. And yet here, as he enters his final week as a man on planet Earth, he is finally recognised and welcomed as the King of Kings, as the Lord of Lords. And as I say, it seems to me it's the first time that Jesus was actually given the honour and the recognition and the praise and the respect that he was due. As people gathered, as they threw their cloaks down on the ground, as they hallowed the ground he was even walking on, as they waved palm branches, as they shouted praise and acclamation, shouting out his name and honour and recognising the fulfilment of all the promises of the Old Testament, here was a prophetic act as people truly had their eyes opened, even for a moment, to see who he truly was. Next time Jesus comes to Jerusalem, he will be welcomed as he ought to be welcomed. We're told in the Bible that every eye shall see him, and every knee will bow the knee, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so what's taking place on this first Palm Sunday is in a way a prophetic enactment of how Jesus, the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, will come and take his rightful place on the throne of the world and establish the kingdom of his Father, which will last forever. And he himself will reign as our Lord and as our King. One day, it will happen in total fulfillment and completion. And here he is, welcomed as a king. They cried out, "Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David." David, who they regarded and honoured as being the greatest king in Israel, whose kingdom through the family descent was never going to end, and Jesus being recognised as being the fulfillment of all these promises. Jesus was the true king, and the people were recognising, here is the son of David. Boy, that was sure to get the attention of the authorities and those in power within the capital city of Jerusalem, both the religious leaders in the temple and also the civic leaders and those who were there representing the great empire of Rome itself. Jesus coming and being recognised as a king. And yet welcomed as a king who comes on a donkey. A donkey. That's not how kings enter a city, the capital city. That's not how kings travel. Kings should travel in far greater honour and prestige than that. But we're reminded of the words in Zechariah chapter 9, verses 9 to 10, which says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth." This is the king who came to serve. This is the king who comes riding on an animal of humility. This is the king who comes to bring peace, who comes to overthrow the war horse, who comes to do away with the chariot, who comes to put away the bow and the spear. Here is the one who comes to establish peace on earth. Who would have thought it that day as he entered Jerusalem, clobbering along on this silly donkey, that he was going to come to overthrow all the powers and strongholds that our world thinks so dearly of? This king on a donkey, without any physical signs of the world's power, of weapons and armoury and symbols of might and strength, he was the one who truly, by walking the way of humility and service and peace and death, would turn the world upside down and would shatter the strongholds of even the mightiest palace and the strongest government and the biggest army. Here he enters Jerusalem, welcomed as a king, welcomed on a donkey, welcomed by the poor, by the peasants, by the nobodies, safely in their own places of palaces and power and thrones and safety, sat people of power in Jesus' day, but they weren't coming out to the streets to welcome in the king. It was the nobodies, it was the insignificants, it was those who everyone else disregarded, who were recognising in this prophetic act that salvation was coming their way. All those in power were safely tucked away, but their days were numbered and their days were limited. Welcomed, yes, as the king who was bringing salvation and freedom and liberty, but welcomed the king who was really going to come and shatter their expectations and disappoint the crowds and the people. "Hosanna," they cried, which means, "Lord, save us, save us." Here they were thinking, here is immediate release, here is immediate redemption, here is immediate righteousness and justice being restored at long last. And yet it didn't happen. And within a week, their king would be dead. He didn't meet their expectations, and because of that, many turned away, even Judas, one of Jesus' closest 12. How often, I wonder, in our own lives, do we welcome and submit and invite Jesus in, and yet he just disappoints us, because he simply doesn't do what we expect him to do, in the way that we expect him to do it, and in the timing that we expect him to take. And we can welcome him in one moment as king. We can speak of total surrender. And within hours, within days, within weeks, we can be questioning, God, where are you in my life? Why aren't you doing what I so hoped that you would come and do? Welcomed was the king. And yet what an anticlimax the story and the passage ends on. Here comes this big, great crescendo, this big climax to Jesus' ministry. All the crowd shouting his praise, welcoming in, putting down cloaks on the road, waving palm branches. And how does the passage end? He comes into Jerusalem, he goes to the temple, has a look around, it's getting a bit late, and he goes off to bed. That's essentially what it says. What an anticlimax to the story. And yet maybe it's a reminder to us as well that just because Jesus doesn't always act immediately, just because things don't just get bigger and bigger and bigger until the overthrow comes, until freedom comes, until our healing comes, until our breakthrough comes, or to whatever it is, just because he doesn't do it immediately in a big crescendo of power and praise and anointing, doesn't mean that Jesus isn't somehow still working his plans and purposes out. Jesus was about his business in his timing. And yes, it seems like one big anticlimax to this story. And we still live to some extent in that moment of anticlimax, where we've welcomed Jesus, we honour Jesus, we recognise Jesus, we praise Jesus, we surrender to Jesus. And if sometimes we're left just thinking, Jesus, where are you? He's come into our lives, he's had a look around, and he seems to have withdrawn again. Where is he? Where is he finishing the work that he started? But he is. He promises his faithfulness. His kingdom is coming. His kingdom will come in our lives. His kingdom will come in your life. His kingdom will come in our communities. His kingdom will come in our societies. His kingdom will come in our nation. It will come. Even though sometimes it looks like he's just had a look around and departed and left us wondering, what was that all about? What was all that big shout and fuss about? Where is he now? Where's he gone? When's he coming back? When's he going to finish what he started? Just like the crowds who were left perplexed on that first Palm Sunday, sometimes we are left just thinking after all the dust has settled, what's really changed in our lives? What's really changed in our nation? What's really changed in our churches? What has happened to all our hopes and dreams and expectations? Palm Sunday reminds us to hang in there, folks. Jesus is King. We're right to recognise him. We're right to honour him. We're right to surrender to him. But let him work out his own purposes in his own way at his own time. For it will surely, surely come. And so as we start our final week, as we start this Holy Week, let us all bow the knee. Maybe even literally. Get down in our bedrooms, beside our beds, or whatever we want to do. Bow the knee and welcome the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords into our lives. He still invites people like you and me, the nobodies of society, to still do that. He still wants us to welcome him as King. He still comes in humility and service, riding on a donkey or whatever the equivalent would be today. He still wants us to welcome him, even when he doesn't always meet our expectations. And he still wants us to welcome him and praise him and honour him and recognise him, even when it seems like nothing is changing immediately in our lives and in those round about us. And to wait for the day of his salvation, and to wait for the day of the fulfilment of his promises. And to trust that he who has started a good work in our lives will carry it on to completion. And he who has brought in the beginnings of his kingdom will one day come in fullness to reign forever and ever and ever. And every nation will bow down, and every knee will bow down, and every eye will see, and every tongue confess. Jesus Christ is the Lord of all. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, what a strange story in so many ways. So much emphasis placed on this animal, this donkey that comes from nowhere, yet represents a kingdom of peace, a kingdom of humility, a kingdom of service, a kingdom that breaks with expectations, a kingdom of weakness, and a king who comes in weakness, but in his weakness is true strength, and in his weakness all the power and strength of our heavenly kingdoms will be destroyed. Lord Jesus, we recognize and confess that you are our King. And just as people surrendered their cloaks and cut leafy branches from the fields, we want to surrender all that we have to you. We want to lay down our lives for you. And even, Father, when we don't think you're acting quick enough or doing things our way or meeting our expectations or fulfilling our dreams, when it gets tough and hard like that, Lord, when sometimes we wonder where you are and why you're not doing things that we desperately feel that we need you to do in our lives, Lord, we still want to, in those moments, confess that you are King, and we still want to confess our trust in you and put our peace in you. And recognize, Lord, that our lives are in your hands. And we pray your kingdom come, in your timing, in your way, for your glory. So, King Jesus, we give our lives to you. We give this week to you. We pray that you would come and meet with us afresh. We pray that you would come and anoint our lives. We pray that you would come and just strengthen our faith. We pray that you would come and bring revelation to our eyes, that we would see you even in weakness and even in silence, and that we would recognize your kingdom is surely being established. So Lord, just bless us as a church, bless our families, bless St. Ninians, and just say, Lord, may your kingdom come. We welcome you, our loving servant King. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.